You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA. You know ID in the D in the town all day. ID in the D in the SEA.
Hello and welcome to a special episode of the Fabulous Pelton Cast. I'm your co-host, Kevin Pelton.
I'm Tristan Carcino.
And I'm Chris Smith.
You're recording Talkin' Taco Time, which will be out later tonight, Monday morning. But we couldn't gather hours after the Seahawks get a thrilling come-from-behind 30-27 win over the Carolina Panthers with a Sebastian Janikowski field goal at the final buzzer and not talk about how awesome this game was.
Chris, you were watching this game?
Yes.
At Taco Time?
No, at home before Taco Time.
Were you alone there or were there people around?
My friend Jason.
Okay. It's just like one of those games where I always feel like you need to like feed off other people for the excitement.
Yeah, there wasn't a lot of that going on in my apartment, but
at 10 a.m.
which is weird. Yeah. It's a little early. Drinking a lot of coffee.
It was just one of those games where it's like there's so much tension, I felt like, because the magnitude of the game.
That was mostly just you yelling at Baby Fantasy Genius when he was saying the game is not over.
Oh, God. I hate when he talks about that.
But the game wasn't over. He was right. You were wrong in this situation.
The game was over, and the game should have been over if Riverboat Ron would have been more aggressive in his play calling at the end of the game. I mean, settling for a 52-yard field goal in that situation with Graham Gano, who's been a little bit unsteady this season, like, if you're looking at your
odds it's a long field goal, regardless, you know, of who's kicking it, it's long. So, anything can happen, and he went right.
Can I make the obvious joke here?
Yeah.
Did he make the right decision? Graham Gano. Oh,
that's only the obvious joke to you.
Chris laughed.
But then the Seahawks coming back. So I was thinking of this, and it's like, even if he hits that field goal, and granted the Seahawks had very good field position after the missed field goal, but even if he hits it, there's like 1:40 on the clock, right?
Yeah, somewhere around there.
Plus at least one. I think there was one timeout left.
No.
Or two timeouts left.
I don't think there was any timeouts left.
When the Seahawks got the ball back? No, there were none.
Yeah.
But so you have enough time that you're thinking, okay, the Seahawks can probably get downfield and get into field goal range, especially with the way that they were moving the ball. And then it goes wide right. All of a sudden you're starting with this amazing field position, and then it's 3rd and 6, and they're in a pretty horrible situation.
Yeah, it came quickly because the Seahawks were in the kind of a weird spot where it was like, well, do you want to try to run the clock just in case you have to punt here, or how aggressive do you want to be? Russ scrambling, extending the play, getting enough blocking there, and then Tyler Lockett breaking off the play and going deep, something he said that they had practiced earlier this week. I mean, what an amazing play.
They should practice that play a lot. Why did they wait till this week to practice that play?
I mean, Tyler's got some passes like that before. I mean, though you could say that was not even the most important pass in this game. That being on 4th and 3, going deep to David Moore and having him pull down a contested catch in the end zone. The latest in an amazing season for David Moore.
I just feel like I've always felt this same way every time. Well, I think it's mostly when you're watching on TV, because when you're there, you can see a lot more of what's going on. But when they just like showing Russ and he just fucking loads up, like he's, you know, it feels good. You know, you're not, I never feel like that nervous when they show him just like, oh, he's hucking it. Cause it's like somebody's, it's got a good shot of catching it. That's why
this is not Mitchell Trubisky throwing it down the field or something. When Russ does that, he has calculated the odds of the likelihood of that pass being caught versus it being intercepted or whatever. He knows that he'll be able to throw it far enough. And this game in particular made a perfect throw basically every time.
The important thing that happened in this game is the Seahawks got to the good offense. And by the good offense, I mean letting Russell Wilson throw before third down.
The last series, though.
Okay.
But the most important thing, so Baby Fantasy Genius is there, and he's saying, like, we're 100% chance to win. We're guaranteed to win, Dad. Stop. And I'm like, you need to stop. He's too young to understand what jinxes are.
Well, you know what really it is? he wasn't there. He was busy playing football. He wasn't around for the UW-Oregon game. Then he would know.
Oh, he wasn't there for that game.
He
would have been in the room telling us we're going to win.
He was scarred.
But the fortunate thing about that Tyler Lockett reception is he was able to get far enough down to like the 10-yard line so that it was – I mean, the likelihood of making that field goal was extremely
high.
Yeah,
at first I didn't even realize it was that close. And then when they ran the next play or two, I was like, oh –
Okay. Oh, and that they were in a situation where they could just take a knee, and you didn't think, oh, they're squandering this opportunity in the way that the Huskies did in that Oregon game, that they got close enough. It wasn't just like this arbitrary coach-speak field goal range. This was very high percentage field goal range.
Yes. Not just in range. And,
Oh, my God. Thank God he hit that field goal.
Yeah. I mean, they put it right where it, you know, the ball needed to be.
What were you saying, though?
Well, that really this game turned. It didn't turn because the Seahawks were in it the whole time. But it was exciting when the Seahawks got to the point where they could use the good offense and just turn Russell Wilson loose with the Panthers really overplaying and selling out against the run. So the Seahawks win a game where, you know, there's been so many of those graphics about the Seahawks rushing yards per game the first 2 weeks and then since then and the record in those periods of time. And this time the Seahawks win a game where they rush for 75 yards and at 2.7 yards per carry. Because it turns out that Russell Wilson is good at quarterbacking.
He is, man. That one play action to Madden.
Trey Madden, yes.
Yes, those were, I was yelling at the TV, can we do a play action?
that's every play for us.
Yes. So if you just keep saying it, then eventually, oh yeah, and then we'll throw it to the fullback. Because there's a fullback in.
How exciting to see a fullback do something good for the Seahawks.
Yeah, he almost scored.
Yes.
Like his so knee close. Just barely went down.
I'm trying to find the quote. I thought Mina had tweeted about it. But Chris Carson saying that the Panthers...
Yes.
Do you have this pulled up?
I don't have it pulled up, but I know the quote. So I will look for it if you want to describe it.
But saying that the Panthers...
she actually retweeted it. It was Bob Condotta of the Seattle Times who had this. So obviously keyed in on the Seahawks running game that, quote, they called out a couple of our plays. And Condotta noted that the Seahawks had a 14-12 run-pass ratio in the first half, a 19-12 pass-run ratio in the second half.
Yeah, they know what to expect.
Also, they scored 10 points in the first half, and they scored 20 in the second half.
Honestly, like, part of that, they were so focused on the Seahawks run game. And we have to say, like, good on Shoddy in this situation for having another mode and being able to turn to the pass a little bit sooner.
Yeah, because it was getting to a point where I felt like I could easily get frustrated when they're running on first and second down, and then it's like third and eight, and you're just like, come on.
Yeah.
Like, they didn't get anything on first down. Maybe do a play action on second down, try it at least, so they just run it again and get nothing.
Well, it seems like it would have been that much more effective. I mean, we know how effective play action is already if they are so concerned about stopping the run against the Seahawks. And in this scenario, Russell Wilson has one of his best games maybe ever as a Seahawk in this game, passing the ball downfield, partially, I'm sure, because of them being so concerned with the Seahawks running the ball. And it's like, just start passing. And finally they did.
And also partially because the Seahawks defense was so bad in this game, at least outside the red zone.
Finally got a takeaway, man.
They did get a takeaway.
That interception was nice, man.
And they did force, how many fumbles did they end up forcing?
Yeah,
six?
They were trying to get that ball. I mean, just like couldn't land on it.
Officially five fumbles.
Officially only five?
Yeah.
Wow. I was going to say, we have to be nearing records for amounts of times teams have fumbled and recovered their own fumbles.
Yeah.
But Carolina, for the second consecutive week, loses with almost 2 yards per play more than its opposition. They had 8.4 yards per play to the Seahawks, 6.5. But those red zone issues for them, the Seahawks coming up with some timely stops, a fourth down stop.
I mean,
then
just
forcing a field goal in the next drive.
The beginning of the game. Kind of was like...
Yeah, Carolina should have had a huge lead. It should have been kind of like the playoff game at Carolina a few years ago that the Seahawks furiously rallied to come back. Well, yeah, but I mean, similar kind of thing. Where
it could have easily been
14-0. Yeah,
for sure.
But it wasn't, and that allowed the Seahawks to stay in the game. A great play, obviously, by Bradley McDougal to come up with the interception in the red zone, another stop down there. So this was fun.
This was fun.
And crucially important, as we talked about in the preview, in terms of the Seahawks playoff odds, which, depending on the source now, somewhere in the neighborhood of 70% to make the playoffs. Wow. In about a 40% swing from had they lost this game and been a game behind Carolina in the wild card race. And also now having, in that case, would not have had the tiebreaker. Now they have the tiebreaker over Carolina. Not completely out of the woods by any stretch of the imagination, but the path to 9-7 is looking pretty clear. And then if you can get, you know, Minnesota would be ideal, given that they're also in the wild card race, or Kansas City, then potentially 10 wins for the Seahawks. And that would probably assure them a wild card spot.
And just a couple of moments that I thought were important that haven't gotten as much attention. I mean, we've talked a lot about Tyler Lockett and David Moore, how impressive they were. I think the tackle and just being in the area that Trey Flowers made on that third down before the Graham Gano field goal on a play that Fox went and looked at and showed maybe could have been an incomplete pass. But yep. Trey Flowers being there, making that tackle on a play that a lot of other situations corners have been lost on or whatever, and having it be completely stayed. I think that was maybe against Jairus Wright. Setting up that long field goal, the incompletion and the pressure on second down in that series.
That was DJ Moore, by the way.
That was on DJ Moore that he was defending. DJ Moore kind of roasted Trey Flowers a lot of this game, but him being there on that one was huge and setting up that long field goal. The pressure on second down, meaning that they were able to save the timeout
yep.
for third down that they got in a situation where they didn't let Cam get out of the pocket, which he did so many times. And I think that pressure was coming from the right side of the line. I don't know exactly who. Those plays, huge. Bradley McDougald making that tip and then catching his own interception, a thing that feels pretty rare.
He did both halves of the Richard Sherman. Yeah. to Why have I forgotten the name of the MVP?
Malcolm Smith.
Yeah, Malcolm Smith. Yeah, great moments.
And then also even stuff like Nick Vinette picking up, I think he only had two catches, right? Yeah, Nick Vinette, two catches for 22 yards, both first downs,
yeah.
and just getting past the first down marker. There are a couple of plays that Doug had nearing the end of the game where they're just kind of flare passes out to Doug, but he's picking up first downs, mm-hmm. fighting for as many yards as possible. All of those things hugely important in this game, and then setting up David Moore and Tyler Lockett to have these monster plays.
Just that one, like the little high throw from Russell when Baldwin was open in the end zone.
Yep.
Oh, man.
Like, just missed him.
Nas Jones coming up with the big play, I think. He was the one who had the stop on the on the Cam run on fourth down.
Yes.
Nas Jones being active and getting in it, getting in the mix.
Active in every sense of the word.
Yeah, it was a strange call, I think, on that one that they... Well, why usually don't you just sneak it?
Yeah.
It seems to work well, especially with tall quarterbacks.
Malik Turner coming up with his first NFL catch and then making the turn. I think this was against Captain Munnerlin. Maybe it was against Corn Elder. And then turning and gaining extra yards after that.
Rough day for Corn Elder.
It was not Corn Elder's best day. Was there anybody else who stood out? Bobby Wagner, always very steady.
Yeah. I'm
trying to think of anybody else. Oh, Barkevious Mingo, too. They maybe ended up scoring on the play after this. Yeah, but
they did, yes.
On the pick after that, which should have been called.
Yeah. But never called. Against us.
Somewhere Jermaine Kearse, he was like in playing for the Jets, but somehow he just a shiver.
They had like two still, receivers there.
Just a ago. Shiver went down his spine. Jermaine Kearse's spine when that play happened. He didn't know why. It just happened.
But Barkevious Mingo getting his hand in there and breaking up that pass to Greg Olsen.
Yeah.
Making a big play in coverage, which we haven't necessarily seen a ton of.
And though Chris Carson didn't have a big day on the ground for the reasons we went into, like he got a lot of tough yardage in this game, broke a lot of broken tackles, the kind of things that third Pelton brother Ben Baldwin wrote about on The Athletic Seattle earlier this week, saying that Chris Carson was arguably the best running back in the NFC.
Wow. There we go.
Yeah.
There it is.
Until we draft Miles Gaskin next year.
Yeah, it's going to be
a
combo.
Ben being a Stanford alum, he has now switched his vote to Christian McCaffrey after this game.
Oh, did he really?
No, I mean, not specifically, but
Christian McCaffrey is pretty terrifying.
Yeah. And
do we remember a weekend where there were two such high leverage games that were happening and the Seattle team won both of them?
I mean, I'm sure it's happened before. Feels like it's been a while.
Yeah, probably not in 1991.
No, not much leverage for the Seahawks that year.
There must have been a time recently where there were huge wins for both of the teams. But, I mean, this game basically would have come close to knocking the Seahawks out of the playoffs. And then the Huskies with the Rose Bowl victory, or with the, there we go.
Oh, yeah.
Ahead of myself. With the Apple Cup victory, putting themselves in the position to go to the Rose Bowl against a top 10 Cougars team.
Yes.
Top 10.
This was a great weekend of football.
It was. So we'll probably have a little bit more on this on this week's Pelton Cast, as well as, of course, full previews of the Huskies in the Pac-12 championship game against Utah and the Seahawks thrilling game against the San Francisco 49ers.
No comments on the Chris Carson's flip?
Yeah, I really...
Flip's kind of overrated. He didn't end up getting any additional
games. It was cool looking. I think 7-10 the other week, and they were asking about when, like, him leaping in the air, and just like he's kind of like frightened every time he does it, but it just just happens sometimes.
He said after the game that he would not have done it if he had known that it was that Eric Reed was as tall as he was, that he was going to be so difficult to climb.
Yeah, I didn't. It was scary.
And the Seahawks coming out of this game injury free? Did I knock on wood there?
I believe Trey Madden may have left the game after that completion.
Trey Madden was injured. He had his catch for the season.
I think that was the only injury he suffered during the game.
Oh, man. I liked when Cam Newton just threw his lineman under the bus earlier. You could hear it on TV. He's like, "That's on you, Trey," when he had to call a timeout. He's like, "That's on you, Trey."
Yeah, he was like, he was mad about something when they had to call a timeout.
Yeah. I'm like, why? What kind of leader does that? Like, maybe save it for the huddle. "Hey, Trey, you messed that one up. Let's do better." Then just like in front of the other team, in front of everybody. "That's on you, Trey."
Russell Wilson would have called a press conference to apologize for
that. "That's on you, Dwayne Brown, why I called this timeout." Everyone needs to know that.
The Seahawks did have most of their timeouts left at the end of this game, so that was nice.
2 out of 3 ain't bad.
Yeah, I'll take it. Anything else on this one?
No, it's great. It's fun. It's fun. Being in games, you know?
Yeah, then and the Seahawks should have some more fun games coming.
Also Seabass. By the way, shouts to Seabass.
Yes.
Who, having steady kicking, I'm going to knock on wood when I say that, just because it can all go away at any time.
It can. I thought that was implied, though, in the discussion of the kick, how it was not a sure thing, even though it was a close field
goal. I don't think there's any more like sure things anymore. Like
not in kicking, no.
Yeah, it's just nuts.
Hitting all three field goals. Hitting all three extra points. All three extra points. Thank you, Seabass. I mean, he went a long way in winning this game for the Seahawks. And it's something that we hadn't experienced the last couple of years, where if they miss one of these kicks, we're talking about a completely different game.
Yeah, guys, ask Packers, or ask Panthers fans, I should say. Okay. On that note, thanks for listening.
Bye.